Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Amen. Well, if you've been coming to Lifehouse for any length of time, it wouldn't be long before you would hear me talk about Moses delivering his people out of Egypt. There's just so much typology, so many pictures going on in that literal scenario that applies to us spiritually. And I love that story. And so if you don't know what the story is, God's people, the Israelites, were enslaved in a nation called Egypt, and they were essentially building pyramids, I think. And they were working very hard. But God says to Moses, I don't want my people in Egypt. I want you to take them from Egypt, deliver them, and then take them to the promised land. And Moses reluctantly takes on the call, and he goes about the work of doing this. Now, if you don't know what that story represents or symbolizes, Egypt is a form of the world, our world, where we feel like we're enslaved to habits, attitudes, mindsets. For some of us, working jobs that we don't really want to be working in, but we feel like we're trapped. Egypt represents the world's values, its priorities, the way the world thinks. And God would say to me as the pastor of this church and anyone else who ministers to you guys, do you know, we're always trying to take you out of Egypt and into the promises of God for your life. That's all. Forever we are trying to do that. Get you out of Egypt into God's promise. And so Moses comes along and he says to Pharaoh, with a big Charlton Heston voice, he says, let my people and Pharaoh says no with the bald head. I'm seeing it all happen in my head right now, you know that. And so Pharaoh says no with the makeup around his eyes and the big gold thing and the whole lot, and get out of here, Moses. And so Moses leaves, and but he knows that this is God's will. So even though he got a no, he didn't take that as being God's will. Right, because he had a mandate from God. And so he goes back again for a second time, let my people go. And then, as we know, Moses unleashes these plagues onto the land, and they're pretty bad plagues, and turning the Nile River into blood and so forth. Anyway, by the time we get to the third plague, Pharaoh relents, and he says to Moses, okay, I will let the people go. And this is where we pick up the story. He says, all right, go ahead, Pharaoh replied. I will let you go into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. But don't go too far away. Can you repeat those words with me? But don't go too far away. Now hurry up and pray for me. I like that little part at the end. What does that represent for us? Well, you know what? It represents the enemy cannot stop you from giving your life to Jesus. Did you know that? Because it all happens internally. So the enemy cannot stop you from praying a prayer, Jesus, I need you. We're going to give you an opportunity if you've never done that at the end of this service. But he can't stop you from doing that. And guess what? The enemy doesn't really care that you're saved. Pharaoh says, go, go, go and sacrifice. Go become a Christian. Go become a Christian. Who cares? Just don't go too far, though. I don't care if you're a Christian, the enemy says, but just don't take this Christian thing too far. And I want to speak to you guys about that this morning. Is that okay if I talk to you about, can we not listen to Pharaoh and take this Christian thing way too far? Can we take it way too far? See, Moses didn't take that offer. He didn't say, oh, that sounds good enough to me. I mean, come on, that's a good compromise, win-win. No, he didn't say that. He said, no, that's not what God's got for these people. Now, the reason why Moses didn't accept it is because if he had have accepted that, they wouldn't have ended up in the promised land. I want to suggest to all of us, if you make a deal with the devil, you know, with the enemy, if you make a deal with him where he says to you, become a Christian, but don't take this thing too far, I'm going to suggest to all of us that we don't end up in our promised land either. we don't end up where God wants us to be. We don't end up having what God wants us to have. We don't have the power. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the friends. We don't have the opportunities. We don't have anything that God's got for us if we make a deal with the enemy and listen to him when he says, become a Christian, but just don't take this thing too far. I'm suggesting that every single one of us take this thing too far today. Does anybody want to go on a bit of a journey of taking this thing too far? I like taking things too far. See, the reason why it's important to take this thing too far is because when we understand what God has done for us, you'll understand what he's trying to do through us. And so here's a scripture that says this in 2 Timothy. It says, for God saved us and called us. If you are in this room today, if you're watching on TV or if you're listening to a podcast, if God has saved you, there is an and there. If you've been saved, you've also been called. God's got something for you to do. Let me put it to you another way. God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a purpose. Your purpose isn't to just be saved. I know that blows some of you away. Some of us think that the pinnacle of your life is being saved. It's not. That's just the beginning of the journey. The rest of the journey is you then coming into your call and achieving everything that God's got for you. There is a huge purpose for your life. You got to believe that. Those whom God has saved, he has called. You're a called person. And I like the hat. It doesn't have in brackets, except for Jonathan. Except for Sally. No. If you're saved, you're called. Awesome. I like the fact that it doesn't also say, therefore, become a pastor. Therefore, do things within the four walls of this church. It doesn't say that. Friends, when you're saved and you are called, you are always saved, whether you're in this building or you're not. And guess what? You're always called, whether you're in this building or whether you're not. Your call is not limited to a few hours on a Sunday morning. Your call is your life. This is what you do every moment of your day. This is what God has called you to do with your life for the rest of your life. Are you okay with this? So God wants us to take this thing too far. Although the enemy says don't, God says you need to. And anyone that we value or respect in the Bible, you know the stories that we hear? Every single one of them have got something in common. Are you ready for it? They all took it too far. Every one of them took it too far. Think about that. Noah. Hey, Noah. Yes, Lord. There's going to be a flood. What's that? It's this thing where water rises and stuff and everyone drowns. Oh, I've never seen that before. Just trust me, it's going to happen. Oh, okay. Well, what do? Build a boat. What's that? It's this big thing, brown and all that, wood. Huge. Okay, who's going to help me? I don't know. But just build it. And so he starts building. Don't you think people would have walked past him and said, Noah, what are you doing? And he would have said, I'm building a boat because apparently there's going to be rain or something. I'm just believing by faith. I don't really quite know what the heck I'm doing, but I'm just going to build this thing. Don't you think some people would have said, Noah, you're taking this thing. Don't you think? But you know, as rain began to fall down and started to drench his clothing and water's levels did start to rise, that wouldn't have been a good time to start building the ark. Yeah. I'm sure he would have looked at it and gone, oh, so that's what you're for. I'm so glad I've been building you for the last 100 years. Now it all makes sense. The life that looks crazy to others is the very life that saves you and your family. It's the very thing that builds. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause. That's what you're doing with your life. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There you go. For those of you who come from Bendigo, at least your name's in the Bible there, sort of, to some degree. It doesn't say Shadrach, Meshach, and West Meadows. Let's be honest. It doesn't say that. And Bendigo. It's actually Abednego. Anyway, let's not get distracted here this morning. The good news is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can really teach us something this morning, because there was this decree that went out, and the decree was, as the idol of King Nebuchadnezzar comes down the street, everybody had to bow down as soon as the music started playing. So Shadrach and Meshach were having a bit of a souvlaki one day together, falafel probably, right? And they were like, yeah. And all of a sudden they could hear the music coming from the distance. And they're like, what's going on? And all of a sudden they're starting to see people wipe their mouth and getting themselves ready. And as the idol's getting closer and closer and closer, all of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's mates start bowing down. They start bowing down to the culture. They start bowing down to what everyone else is doing, because that's what everyone else is doing. If every have you heard this one? Everyone's doing it, but Pastor Richard, everyone's doing it. Well, they probably are. And so they're all bowing down as the idol comes down, but God said, don't do it. So here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As the idol's getting closer and closer, they don't bow. They don't bow. They just stand there. And all their mates that were on the ground go, boys, just bow down. It's going to take 30 seconds. It's just such a little part of your life. It doesn't really matter. Just bow down, boys. Bow down. No. Boys, I think you're taking this thing a bit too far. Yeah, I think we may be, but you know what? We've got a conviction and we're going to stand by our conviction. And if this is what God has told us to do, I don't care if everybody's doing it, we're not doing it. Well, guess what? I'd love to say, and therefore, it all worked out well for them. No, they ended up in a fire. They got thrown into a fire. Thanks, Pastor Richard, for the great advice on Sunday about sticking up for my values and doing what I've been called to do, because that's how it ended up for him. You know, I was working for Toyota. And this is not an indictment on Toyota, by the way. It was just the culture of the time. And here I am working for Toyota. I just start this new job. And I walk into the lunchroom. And I walk in there and I'm seeing a few people, a few guys there, a few girls there. And then I start to see the guys pick up magazines. And the type of magazines that shouldn't be read at all, definitely not in front of women. You know, the ones that you open up that way? Too many guys just knew exactly what I was talking about there, right? You're supposed to go, what are you talking about, huh? I've got no idea. And they were being opened up this way. Well, you know what? I was a little bit disgusted by that, to be honest. I'm thinking, wow, really? There's girls there, young girls, secretaries, whatever, you know, receptionists, and they're like, you know. And so anyway, I'm there. I wasn't trying to stir up trouble. I wasn't trying to be a hero. I wasn't trying to be Superman. I was just a guy. I wasn't a pastor of a church. I was just a Christian who just loved God. And so I turned up with my Bible and put it on the table. And I opened it. To them, it must have sounded like this. Because they all looked up at me and they went like, well, one by one, they started to close their pornographic magazines. I didn't ask them to do anything. They just started to close them. And one by one, they all left the lunchroom. More food for me, I thought. You know what I mean? They all left the lunchroom. Not a word of a lie. Well, then the manager comes in. He goes, mate, what are you doing? I said, nothing. He goes, what are you doing to these guys? I said, nothing. I'm just reading my Bible. He goes, mate, why are you reading that book in front of these people? They're feeling awkward. They didn't like what you were doing. You know what? Your days are done here. I lost my job. Yeah, yeah. What sort of preaching is that? Like, where's the good news? I'll show you the good news. I'm standing up here now fulfilling my dream, living my dream, because God saw my heart that day. And God said, there's a man who doesn't really care about the consequences. He's going to do the right thing. And I believe that's what God would say about you. What about Joseph, the poor guy? All he did was just share his dream. Where did he end up? In a pit. What? All I did was just share my dream. And thanks, God. Thanks. You give me a dream. I share it. This is where I end up. Well, you know what? But because of that, he ended up at Potiphar's house. All of a sudden, Mrs. Potiphar, woo, come on, baby. Let's get it going. No, I will not do that. And he would have gone back to his bedroom. See how much of a man I am? Yeah, yeah. Become a slave now and get thrown into a dungeon. Dungeon. Ah! You know, sometimes we think if I just do the right thing, it's going to all be great. Sometimes it's not great. But you know what? Joseph took it too far. And when he could have done something with Potiphar's wife and had a love triangle going on, he said no, and he ends up in a dungeon, but he keeps serving God, keeps a good heart. And you know what? He's in dungeon Tuesday night, Wednesday night. He's the president of all of Egypt. He got there in the end. You know, he would have never got into that promised land if he wasn't willing to take this Christian thing too far. If he just had it settled somewhere along the road, he wouldn't have ended up. I want to challenge all of us, please don't do the deal with the enemy. Do what you got to do, say what you got to say, live the life you got to live so that God can get you into your dream and into your destiny and into your promised land. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember I showed you this scripture, Acts 26? Have a look at what it says. It says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. God's got a purpose. And the first purpose of your life is to rise and to stand so that God can make you a minister of the things that you've seen and things that you are yet to see. Isn't that great? God's first plan for your life and my life is to stand, rise up, and not be afraid. Come on, let's take this thing too far, friends. Let's not listen to what the enemy has to say. Amen. How many of you are glad, and please give me the appropriate response, how many of you are glad that Jesus took this thing too far? Hey? Come on. He could have just come along and just said, hey guys, I've got some good teaching for you, you know, a little bit about Blessed Are the Meek, and please buy my book, and the DVD collection comes out next week. Please come to the conference, I'm building a big conference. You know, he could have left it at that. But no, he has to then go and get whips on his back and a crown of thorns on his head and nails in his hand. No wonder Peter said to him, Jesus, you're not going to go die. And Jesus said, no, I need to take this thing too far, Peter. Why? Because I need to pay the price for your sin. I love that Jesus took this thing way too far because it saved our lives. Jesus took it too far. I'm so glad that he did. I wonder whether we would see our lives this way. Do you know, I've got some water here. I had some anyway, drunk most of it. Do you know, H2O, nothing special. Do you know, this water is probably at 22, 25 degrees, whatever it is. And while the temperature stays at that type of temperature, it's just H2O and it's just water and that's its form. It doesn't really have much power. But you boil that water to 100 degrees, something shifts. Something shifts in the water. All of a sudden it becomes steam. Did you know steam can move a train down the tracks? A steam engine works because water gets so hot that now it's got some power. I want to suggest to you that your faith is like that water. And when you're sitting at 80%, it's okay. It's warm water. You can maybe have a shower in it or something, maybe a bit hot. But it's not going to move a train down the tracks. It's not going to make your friends love God. It's not going to make your kids go, wow, there is a God. It's only when your faith gets to 100 degrees, it's burning bright. All of a sudden people go, woo! What's going on in your life? There's something different about you. That's what God would say. Listen, Christianity is not about being 80%, friends. It's not. It only really gets going. Actually, I'm going to suggest to you that Christianity is pretty boring unless it's hot for God. I'm telling, look, you know, I didn't know any better. You know, when I got saved, my pastor said to me, listen, read the book of Acts, which is what the apostles did. And then he said something really crazy to me. Whatever you read, God can still do today. I said, okay, so I start reading the book of Acts. Well, it didn't take me long as I began to read that these people were pretty outspoken about their faith. Like, and so here I am, I'm 16 years old, and now I'm, and I noticed that these people were not ashamed. And so I thought, okay, that's how you got to be, because that's what they were doing, and that's what God wants. So no one had told me, just don't go too far. Thank God. So I go to a place with some of my mates. We just talked about it in the foyer just earlier. We went to a place called Spaghetti Graffiti, which was a pasta bar / karaoke bar. Yeah, see, some of you young people go, how come these things don't exist anymore? It wasn't that great, okay? They didn't do either well, okay? That was half the problem. But anyway, we were there. We were having some meatballs. We were having a good old chat. And all of a sudden, the host gets up. Ladies and gentlemen, well, welcome here to Spaghetti Graffiti. Now we're going to have some people get up and sing some songs. Who's willing to sing some karaoke? And, you know, and so, you know, and I was trying to be reluctant, but really I was just dying to get up there. And I'm like, no. And my mates, come on, go. Oh, only because you said, you know. Only because you said, you know. And so I get up there, and anyway, I'm standing there, and he's like, so, mate, what are you going to sing? And he's asking me, he's asking this guy, that girl. You know, he was going to sing George Michael. It's never going to go well if you're going to sing George Michael. I'm telling you straight, okay? Because we all thought he was, anyway. And so he sings his song, and then I thought, what am I going to sing? Well, there's only one thing to sing, Bon Jovi. So I'm like, bro, come on, you give love a bad name. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know how it all starts. Do you remember the start of it? You got to do it with me. You ready? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Shot through the heart and you're to blame, darling. Anyway, it went off. The spandex almost came out, guys. You know what I mean? Like, it was happening, and all the, because, you know, it was back in the day, right? So everyone's like, yeah, so blah, 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 blah. You give love a bad name. Anyway, clap, clap, clap. I go back to my seat. Then they have the applauder monitor. You know the applauder monitor, right? So, ladies and gentlemen, who liked the George Michael guy? Bah, nah. Who liked the Jewel girl? Bah, who liked the Bon Jovi? I won. Now, I'm trying to be humble, but I won. Straight out. No one was even close. So then he goes, mate, do you want to come and sing another song? That's your reward if you win the competition. And I'm like, let's do this. It's go time. So I get up there, man, and the whole time I'm walking up, I'm thinking, what am I going to sing next? Van Halen? Am I going to sing another Bon Jovi? And then a thought came to me, you know what? That's not going to help any one of these people. That's not going to help them singing about cocaine or singing about Janie's got a gun or, you know what I mean? Like, how's that going to help? Am I giving away my age, by the way, him? I thought, I know what I'll do. There was a song that I had just heard by this artist called Keith Green, right? And the song is the most powerful evangelistic message you've ever... It's like a message, but he's put some music to it, pretty much. Well, the computer guy didn't have that song on record, did he? So I just start singing it a cappella. Most people don't find out till it's too late that you have to pay a price. This went on for 3.5 minutes. Verses, choruses, bridges, the whole lot. It just went on and on. People have just got like spaghetti hanging out of their mouth. Like, they're like, what have we come to, right? Well, anyway, I finish the song and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. But there was no laughter from these people. It was just like the biggest mood, awkward moment of that place's history. I think it actually shut it down, actually. That place does not exist any longer, right? Single-handedly, I destroyed that poor guy's business. Right, there's some guy telling a story. I had a great business, bro. And then this guy came and sang for me, completely destroyed the joint. Anyway, I tell you what happened. I go back to my cold meatballs, and this big guy walks over, and he's like, bro, bro. Come on, mate. And he goes, that was the most courageous thing, but Northern Suburbs courageous. That was the most courageous thing I've seen anyone do. Awesome. Well, you know what? That guy's pastoring a church today in Queen. No. I would love to tell you that, right? I'd love to tell you that. That guy did actually come up. But I don't know what he's doing with his life. All I do know is that was just me having a go for God. And I reckon God just saw this little Lebo heart saying, God, I just want to be able to talk to people about you. And God just said, you know what? If you're going to behave like that, I'm going to get you into your destiny. We're going to have a go. Because you know what? That one there didn't go too well. That didn't go too well. Let's be honest, right? That didn't go too well. But you know what? Then a group of us guys, some of them are in the room today with me, we started this evangelistic club, right? Like, you know, we're going to just go, we're going to change the world, us 12 nutters. And so we did. And so we started a prayer meeting. Do you remember this? Come on, some of you remember this. I started a prayer meeting in my house. And, you know, we were praying that hard in that prayer meeting. The room was filled with smoke. Because we were all smoking. We were still smoking cigarettes back then, right? But listen to what I'm trying to say here. God still heard our prayer. And so we went out to a nightclub to go and win lost people. right? Because I'm trying to take this thing too far. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. So we go down to a tavern, pub, bar slash whatever. And, you know, and it was like, all that, right? And we walk in. And you know what? You know, I start talking to this young lady. It was the same deal as the karaoke thing, but this time was a bit different. And I just started sharing about God and who I am, what are you doing here and what's happening. Well, you know what? That girl came to church that next week. She got baptized. She went to Bible college. She ended up marrying a man of God. That family's in our church. Their children sing off this platform. Like, this stuff's real. This stuff's real. You know what? They're raising a Christian family now because a group of 12 guys who were very busy smoking in a prayer meeting. What I'm trying to say is, what are you waiting for? How perfect are you waiting for your life to be? Hey, come on, we've got a purpose. Every single person in this place has got a purpose. You've got a purpose. I've got a purpose. What are we waiting for? You know, some of us are waiting for the perfect day. Have a look at what the Bible says. I love this. It says in James chapter 4, look at that. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make some money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then you vanish. So here we are waiting for the big golden moment of our life. And God says, your life's a mist. Like, let's get on with this. You've got a purpose. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting to be given permission. You've got permission. I'm waiting for someone to tell me I can shine. Shine. I'm waiting to have all the answers. You never will. Just live out your purpose, friend. You are on purpose. We think we've got all the time in the world. The Bible says you're nothing but a mist. Yeah, okay. This is something I prepared earlier. Are you ready? This is your life. Born, school, family, die. That was it. For some people, born, school, family, no business, didn't quite get to it. We know, but unfortunately for some people, it's just born. For some people, it's a bit longer. You know, some of these Asian people, they're like, they sort of, just sort of go, right, God bless them. You know what I mean? All right. God bless them. But you know what? Either way, it's not much longer. You hear what I'm saying? God bless them. It's awesome. Hey, they're entitled to it. They eat healthier than everyone else, right? Gone. That's how God sees our life. Here we are. Listen, by the way, see that? You were stressed, depressed, wondering what your life was all about. By the time you worked it out, it was over. By the time we worked it out, it was over. Born, school, family, business, die. Do you reckon you could use a little bit of that, though, to fulfill God's purpose for your life? Let me tell you why it's important. Because the only part of that matters is what you did for Him. So this is your pastor trying to be really, really kind to you to say, guys, you've got a purpose. Start living it. Open your mouth. Live a big life. Every moment counts. You're not on purpose for a couple of hours on a Sunday. You're on purpose every minute of the day that you are alive. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. I need someone to tie up my shoelace. Could you come and tie up the shoelace? See that? Look at that, mate. That is just brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, it's a double knot too. That's never coming undone.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.